This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As most of you know, I assume, this Lutheran congregation is named Concordia. Why that is, I'll talk about some other time in another sermon. However, as many of you know, many other Lutheran congregations around the state and around the country and around the world are named after various saints. For example, we can find Lutheran congregations named St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John, St. James, and the list goes on. However, have you ever noticed that it's almost impossible to find a Lutheran congregation named St. Mary? Why is that? Well, more than likely, Lutherans avoid the name St. Mary because they want to distance themselves from those who teach falsely about Mary. For example, some Christians hold to the false teaching known as the Immaculate Conception. A lot of people think when they hear the Immaculate Conception, it's talking about Jesus being conceived in the womb of Mary. But no, that's not what the Immaculate Conception is. The Immaculate Conception says that Mary herself was conceived without sin and remained sinless her entire life. Now, this erroneous teaching has led some to think that Mary is more holy than any human, and that she can even help us merit salvation because of her good works far exceeding ours. Now, one example of such false teaching about Mary is found in a document that was written in the 1800s, known in Latin as Ineffabilis Deus. Now, I want to just read a snippet of what this document says about Mary. It says, "All our hope do we repose in the most blessed Virgin, in the all-fair and immaculate one who has crushed the poisonous head of the serpent and brought salvation to the world. In her who is the glory of the prophets and apostles, the honor of the martyrs, the crown and joy of all the saints. In her who, with her only begotten Son, is the most powerful mediatrix and conciliatrix in the whole world. In her who is the most excellent glory, ornament, impregnable stronghold of the Holy Church. In her who has destroyed all heresies and snatched the faithful people and nations from all kinds of direst calamities. In her do we hope, who has delivered us from so many threatening dangers." And so on it goes. Therefore, it's not surprising that we don't find many Lutheran congregations named St. Mary. But you know, that's actually unfortunate. You see, just because some teach false things about Mary does not mean that we can't learn from her good example of humble faith and godly living. You know, the fact that many Lutheran congregations are named after other saints means that we're willing to learn from their godly examples. So then why can't we also learn from Mary's example? Now, at this point, some of you might be wondering why I'm putting so much stress on Mary and the other saints. Well, the reason is that Christians throughout history have focused on Mary and the other saints as godly examples for us to follow and imitate. In fact, I'd like you to turn in the front part of your hymnal to page 94. If you turn to the front part of your blue hymnal on page 94, you will see that a section begins there that lists various days throughout the year that we Lutherans can set aside to observe various saints. So if you start on page 94 and just start turning, all the way to page 117, that whole section is a list of saints' days that we can observe as Lutherans. Now, of course, that leads to the question, why do we observe saints' days at all? Well, first, I want you to understand the reason that we don't observe saints' days. We do not observe saints' days because they were somehow less sinful or more holy than any other Christians. You see, my friends, being a saint has nothing to do with how little you sin or how many good works you do. But sadly, many have the evil idea that the title saint is reserved for only a few people who are worthy of being called saints. But we must repent of this wicked teaching. Why? Well, first of all, Holy Scripture clearly teaches that being a saint is a gift of God's mercy. Some of you, if you read my most recent His Word is Truth article, which appeared in the August 20th Jamestown Sun, you might remember I quoted several scripture passages which clearly teach that all Christians are saints before God. In other words, being a saint means that the guilt of your sin has been washed away and the blood of Jesus has made you holy in God's sight. Therefore, being a saint means that God has convicted you of your sin and He has given you faith in Jesus who forgives your sin and clothes you with His own holiness. So, that leads to the next point. If all Christians are saints, then that means you, believers, are saints as well. I know maybe you've never thought of yourself as a saint, but you are. When you were baptized, God washed away the guilt of your sin and clothed you with the righteousness of Jesus. And even though you continue to struggle with the desires of your sinful nature, the Holy Spirit moves you to confess your sin, and He moves you to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Therefore, all who repent of their sin and all who trust in Christ, according to Scripture, are saints. So that takes us back to the original question. Why do we observe saints' days at all? The reason, again, is that throughout history, Christians have, so to speak, honored certain other Christians who were wonderful examples of godly living and humble faith. But again, we don't honor them because they were somehow better than us. We simply honor them because we say, hey, that's how a saint ought to live. And because I'm a saint, I want God to help me to live that way too. In other words, we honor the saints because we too are saints. And just as God's mercy moved them to live a life that was honorable to God, we pray that God will also help us to follow their example. Now, one saint we should strive to imitate is none other than the mother of our Lord, the Virgin Mary. As we sang in the second stanza of our sermon hymn, we all believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, and Mary's Son. Now, the first thing you should know about Mary is that she was a sinner just like you and me. In our gospel reading from Luke, the angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now, please understand, Mary was not highly favored because she was somehow worthy of God's blessing, no. Instead, the angel is pointing out that Mary is an object of God's grace. The Lord is with her, the angel says. And in the same way, you, believers, are also highly favored. The Lord is also with you. This unconditional mercy of God is possible because of our Savior, Jesus. So the one born of the Virgin Mary is the one whom God promised to send into the world to save us sinners. Therefore, one thing we learn from Mary is that we are also objects of grace. You see, the Lord doesn't choose us to be His servants because we're better than others. No, the Lord chooses us because of Jesus. Not because of our skin color, not because of our economic status. No, He chooses us by grace for Christ's sake. And Mary understood this. That's why later on in Luke, at the beginning of her famous Magnificat, Mary says these words, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." In addition, Mary also gives us an example of what it means to have childlike faith. The angel tells her that she will be used by God to fulfill His promise of a Savior. Now, Mary knew what the angel was getting at. You see, Mary knew her Bible. Mary knew what God said all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God told the serpent that a woman would give birth to a baby boy who would crush the power of the devil. Now, those words of God from Genesis 3:15 are a mystery indeed. First of all, God says that a woman will give birth to a child, a boy, but there's no mention of a husband or a man whatsoever. God also says that this baby boy will crush the devil. Now, we learn from the Bible that the only one who's stronger than the devil is God Himself. So that means, wonder of wonders, this baby boy will have to be God in human flesh. Well, hundreds of years after Genesis 3:15 was written, we learn more about this promise when the prophet Isaiah writes that a virgin will give birth to a son named Emmanuel. And that Hebrew word Emmanuel means God with us. In addition, our Old Testament reading from Micah, it tells us that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. And as you know, Bethlehem is the place where Mary gives birth to Jesus. Yes, Mary knew these scriptures, but she was not quite sure how God was going to accomplish this miracle. You see, Mary might have been a teenager, but she wasn't naive. She wasn't ignorant about the facts about babies and where they come from. Mary knew that she was a virgin, and she knew that virgins cannot have babies. So Mary asked how all this would be possible. And the angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy Child will be called the Son of God." The angel tells Mary that the Holy Spirit will work a miracle in her womb. This will be a birth like no other before, a virgin birth. The Son of God will be born of a woman, just as it said in Genesis 3:15, and just as Paul confirms in our epistle reading from Galatians chapter 4. Now, I must admit that I'm sure Mary was tempted to doubt all this, just as there are many Christians today who are tempted to doubt such teachings as the virgin birth. You know, Mary could have said, "No way. People won't believe this. Virgins can't have babies. That's never happened before. I don't think it's possible." And sadly, there are many today who think just this way about many of God's miracles recorded in Holy Scripture. In fact, tragically, there are some Christian church bodies today that no longer believe in the virgin birth. But my friends, we must repent of such sinful arrogance, because it leads us to question God's word. If we can't accept the miracle of the virgin birth, then why accept the miracle of God hanging on a cross? Why accept the miracle of God rising from the dead? Why accept the miracle of Christ returning to raise us from the dead and give us eternal life? If you question one miracle, you might as well question them all. But my friends, Mary wasn't like that. By the grace of God, Mary believed with childlike faith. We must ask God to give us the childlike faith that He gave to Mary. You see, the Holy Spirit captured her heart. And so Mary said, "May it be to me as you have said. I am your servant." What do we learn from this? My friends, you learn that God wants you to believe the miracle of the virgin birth. You see, the virgin birth is God's sign to you and all people that Jesus is the promised Savior of sinners. In fact, that's why Christians during the very early years of the church, they made sure that the teaching about the virgin birth was included in the universal creeds. That's why, whether we're saying the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, we say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary." Finally, another thing that makes Mary so special is that the Creator Himself was in her womb. Just think about that for a second. Even though Mary was a sinner like you and me, the Holy Son of God was willing to take on human flesh and dwell in her womb. God was willing to be so close to a sinner because He Himself was her Savior and His blood had cleansed her from the guilt of her sin. Well, in a similar way, you are highly favored today. Just as God's Son chose to dwell physically in the womb of the Virgin Mary, this same Jesus also dwells physically in you today. Because in the Lord's Supper, Christ gives you His body and blood to eat and drink, that He might make your body His temple. Your sins are forgiven. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now, like Mary, when we hear about this miracle, we might be tempted to ask, how can this be? How can the Lord give me His body and blood to eat and drink? But then the Holy Spirit captures our hearts and He says, don't doubt. Believe. Nothing is impossible for God. And the same Holy Spirit who gave Mary a heart of childlike faith will also give you the faith to say, may it be to me as you have said. I am your servant. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.